Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
This place is going crazy. Their own son is back, Kevin Garnett, who said, in fact, I'm coming home. This will be my home for the rest of my career, whether it's the next 27 games or more.
And they get the deflection.
Wiggins gets it in for Garnett. And there it is. First make from the field.
He can still do that. He can still spot up.
Download and Nene goes across the lane for his shot that's blocked by Garnett.
It actually felt like my rookie year, I'll be honest. With the energy and the anticipation, it was just a special time, and I can't even put it into words.
It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. We're definitely going to talk KG today, the homecoming.
KG.
There's a broader conversation about leadership that we want to get into. I'm Hardwood Rob with, as always, the Chief, Marcus Fuller, and Mr. Ryan James on the title card now.
Hey, look at that. Look at that. I'm moving up.
Moving up in this world. We always want to start the show opening up with a poll question. The poll question is Gophers related this week with two games left in conference play and the Big Ten tournament remaining. How many games will the Gophers men's basketball team win?
20 wins.
You can tweet us. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. You can call us today. We're gonna try to take some calls. We've got Justin helping us out. Call screening. Appreciate it, Justin. Thank you very much. It's 651-989-9105. Ryan, you're on the title card now, so I'm going to direct this question to you first. How many games do you think the Gophers got left?
Push this guy aside. hey, go away. I'll tell you what. I think they can – the way Wisconsin's playing right now, that game is looking tough. They should beat Penn State. You get one win in the Big Ten tournament, 20 wins. 20 wins. Now,
look at the homer here now.
Yeah, look at that. But 20 wins. Now, 20 wins isn't what it used to be, but it is very possible. I mean, when they were losing five games in a row and everyone's so down, they could win 20 wins. They could get 20 wins.
20.
No, I'm thinking, you know, obviously, you know, you wish they played either today or Sunday, you know,
yeah.
Coming off a game like they had against Michigan State, all that momentum. I mean, I know it was on the road, but I know there's a lot of people excited here in Minnesota about that. And, you know, I was talking to a Gopher recruit just on Twitter here over the weekend. And, you know, Kevin Dorsey up in Maryland, the four-star point guard, is coming next year. I mean, he was excited about the win. I mean, he was just – I mean, let's see if I can pull up what he said on Twitter here. I mean, he was talking about, like, you know, this is obviously a big win and, you know, confidence is up. And, you know, he said it's not like they're getting blown out a lot of games. You know, I mean, obviously the Maryland game and you know, Wisconsin slipped away from them. But, you know, look at this. He was talking about, you know, just free throw shooting, rebounding, you know, just some of the things that they did down the stretch at Michigan State. You know, if that carries over, I mean, who knows who can they be? I mean, Wisconsin is a team, I think, that, you know, is vulnerable in some ways. In a rivalry game like this, you know, you throw records out and you look at the way they played, you know, at Wisconsin. I mean, I think they got it.
It's possible. I mean, they actually rebounded. Michigan State was a +4, Gophers -4 coming in the game. They rebounded with them. I don't care what the final totals were. The Gophers actually rebounded and with Michigan State. They played tough with Michigan State. And down the stretch, they took care of the game. They took care of them. They didn't falter down the stretch, which is a very good step for this team.
You know, we bring up leadership, you know, with Kevin Garnett. And I think, you know, this Gopher team is a team that, you know, there's not one veteran guy that they look to for leadership. I mean, you know, Patino made it pretty clear during the season that, you know, they didn't have one guy that they thought was a go-to guy. Andre Hans, I think, took that role and he ran with it.
He should be, right? I mean, he's the senior. He's...
Well, they have four seniors.
But he's the best. But he's the best among them, right? I mean, he's at least the most highly productive. I mean,
Patino and I had the debate pretty much the whole first half of the season about whether Andre Hans was the best player or not. And and when he had that stretch of, you know, 21 points, I think he averaged 9 straight games. You know, he did say, hey, you know what, Marcus, maybe you're right. You know, during this stretch, he's definitely proved that he's the best player. But, you know, Andre's not the type. He's not the rah-rah guy. He's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna talk too much during the game to kind of get his guys hyped up. He's more lead by example. You know, Kevin Garnett is, I mean, he just missed a personality.
He gets in you.
I mean, he's like, you guys love Shaq. I mean, he's one of those throwback guys that, you know, will grab you by the throat and just say, hey, you know, let's get this going. You know, I mean, you know, not literally grab you by the throat, but, you know, I mean, like,
well,
I mean,
almost literally, really. That's the great part about him, is he gets in you. It doesn't matter if he's on the bench watching the game.
Sometimes you need guys like that. on your team. And, you know, Gophers don't have a guy like that. I think that DeAndre Mathieu plays a lot of passion. You know, Mo Walker definitely does on the court. But, you know, what my point was, in the Michigan State game, they had several players that kind of took on that leadership role at the end of the game. Joey King was hitting some big free throws. You know, obviously, Carlos Morris hitting that three-pointer to send it into overtime. And, you know, they're going to have to do that. This team doesn't have one leader that they can look to carry it. Even though Andre Hollins has played well this year, they're going to have to do it collectively.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about the end, how Carlos and Joey played at the end. Those two have been taking a lot of flack from the fans. Mm-hmm. And they go into East Lansing. Carlos, you know, there were still some of the old Carlos plays that yeah. you know, if you have hair,
bad,
you can pull it out.
Bad Carlos, good Carlos.
Yeah, like he's that dude that, like, you know, he makes a play and you're all excited and you're like, no, what are you doing? And then all of a sudden he gets a steal and he's open on the break and, you know, he finishes. And then he has those two late threes. He's running around all excited, like, you know, like they won the game. Now you still got to hit the free throw, buddy. Misses it. But then he took care of business in the end. So, I mean, now fans are like, hey, what if Carlos could put this together and lead us next year? Joey King,
well,
man.
Well, let's put it this way. I mean, that was one game. You don't want to get blown out of proportion too much. Patino made it pretty clear before this game that Carlos wasn't necessarily the leader yet.
That's kind of been the nature of this team, too.
I don't think he's going to be a leader.
They want to give you a game and then get you excited, and then it's kind of they take the foot off the gas a little bit. It's a little bit of a letdown.
But, you know, like what I was saying, I mean, there's different kinds of leaders, different kinds of leadership. You know, Carlos might not be able to lead just yet, but, you know, he can definitely show leadership qualities. And I mean, with a big shot, leading by example. I mean, Nate Mason is the guy that's going to have to take the next step next year as the point guard. Really the veteran in the backcourt to kind of lead all these freshmen coming. And I mentioned Kevin Dorsey. I mean, they got Jarvis Johnson, Dupree McBrayer. They might bring in another guard. I mean, Nate Mason's going to have to be huge for those guys next year.
Yeah, I got a comment and a question based off what stuff you just said. First of all, Nate Mason was talking about the other day in the media availability, he's talking about coming in with those next guys. I mean, he sounds excited right. about the next crew coming in. And you've been talking about Kevin leading with, you know, with Dupree on one side, maybe with Jarvis leading with Nate, Kevin, that whole crew. It sounds like they're excited about that crew.
They are. I mean, they're excited. Actually, those recruits have been talking to one another quite a bit. I mean, Dupree and Jarvis have kind of built a relationship, and that's carried over to Kevin. I mean, I want to say a couple months ago, you know, Kevin really started to get in their texting back and forth, and that's huge. I mean, you know, I think when Patino first signed this class or got these guys committed, people were wondering, you know, okay, Jarvis is, you know, he can play point. You know, Kevin is kind of a point. You know,
Kevin is a point.
Yeah, he's definitely a point. You know, Dupree plays guard quite a bit, and how are these guys going to play together? I mean, you're bringing three guards in one class, and you've got Nate Mason coming back, Carlos Morris. But, you know, they're already building a relationship. They're already talking about, hey, we're going to make this the best freshman guard class in the Big Ten next year. And that's huge. I mean, I don't think there's no ego there at all. You know, these guys know what they want to do. And you know, coming in during the summer, they're going to put in a lot of work in the offseason. And that's one thing Patino talked about with Nate Mason, with Carlos Morris, Bakari, you know, Kanate, the freshman big man. I mean, a lot of these guys got to make a huge jump in the offseason. Physically, mentally, and get themselves prepared because they're going to have big roles next year.
I really liked what I saw of Bakari and Gaston this last game. I mean, that got me thinking, wow, I'm excited to see these guys play the next 3-4 games. Maybe, you know, maybe some NIT games. These guys, they're playing well. I really liked what I saw about Bakari. Question for you. Who starts next game, Carlos or Charles Buggs?
No, you know, you got to start Buggs. I mean, this is, you know, I think, you know, you talk about, you know, you're being a little superstitious. I mean, there's a reason why Carlos, I think, played the way he did. You know, he finally lit the fire under him, you know, that he's coming off the bench and what kind of role he needs to have. And, you know, he delivered. And it's not about who starts the game, it's who finishes the game. And I think that Carlos understands that finally that, hey, you know, there's a role that I can play on this team, even if it's coming off the bench. And, you know, when the game's on the line, Patino's going to give me a shot to win the game.
And if Buggs is coming off, if Buggs is starting the game and he's shooting jumpers a little too quick a couple times, if defensively he's a little bit off like he was, then he goes to the bench, Carlos comes in, and there we roll.
You know, with this question of leadership, can you compare and contrast or give me some sort of a breakdown? Because obviously the Gopher women's basketball team has had a lot of success. I mean, they're on their way to the dance, right? So where are we at? I mean, we've both got both Gophers teams have relatively new coaches, more of a defined leadership position. Bantam is, I mean, you were telling me Bantam is really the leader, whether or not she's in a jersey and on the court. She's the leader of this Gopher women's team. But can you sort of put in perspective maybe where we're at with respect to, you know, Coach Stallings and Coach Pitino? What's kind of break down the leadership, compare and contrast between the two Gopher teams for me?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the Gopher women, you know, leadership definitely comes from the top. And, you know, when you have a coaching change, you know, suddenly there's excitement. You know, this season they had a lot of talent coming back with, you know, obviously Amanda Zalley, amazing year that she's had, and then Rachel. I think the leadership was really tested when Rachel got hurt. You know, Stallings, you know, definitely her demeanor in post-game press conferences, interviews, you know, she was really down, as was the whole team. You know, they thought all of a sudden their goals to make the NCAA tournament, you know, might have been wiped out with one injury. And, you know, quickly that turned around. I think, you know, it really tested them, you know, how they respond to that. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the team kind of came together. They made the buckets for Bantam jersey or t-shirts.
They really rallied around. It really became kind of a battle cry.
And that shows you what, you know, how much her leadership meant to the team. And, you know, she continued to be a leader, you know, off the court. You know, you watch in games, you know, I think Amanda was, she had a John Buchacross from ESPN. He had her as one of the stars of the week when she went that crazy stretch. You know, she had 39 points, 29 rebounds in one game.
And then followed that up, like 27. What did you say it was?
27 and 27 versus Michigan at home. You know, I mean, come on.
That's goofy.
Not even video game numbers there. But, you know, my point
is. They have girls' video games?
Here you go again.
No, I'm just curious. Wouldn't that be interesting?
You know, I think
they make it. They should.
They shouldn't have a girls. They should have just Amanda. You know, you create a player, just create Amanda Zalley be playing in the NBA.
Move in the right direction.
You know, but I was my point was like on ESPN they showed some clips of Amanda and one of the first clips was her on the bench, you know, kind of talking with Rachel a little bit. And Rachel was pointing to the court and kind of, you know, showing her a couple things, giving her pointers, and that just shows you what kind of impact that Bantam continues to have, you know, even from the sidelines. And so her leadership is just, it's there regardless if she's playing or not. I think Stallings, you know, definitely showed this team, you know, style of play, and that's what kind of got them in the offseason working towards becoming the team that they are right now.
So where's Pitino at then? I mean, we've had a lot of conversation about this coach and I mean, he had to have said something to get those guys fires lit before Michigan State. What kind of give me some assessment then, or in comparison to Coach Stallings? Where's Coach Pitino at in leading this team?
Well, Stallings, you know, like I said, she has a style of play. She has kind of a set, you know, philosophy of how she wants to play because she's been a head coach for a little longer. I think Patino's still trying to figure that out. He's still trying to figure his players out and. You know, how to kind of lit the fire under him, like you said. I mean, motivate these guys. I mean, you want to rely on your four seniors to do that, but he hasn't been able to do that this year. So before the Michigan State game, you know, he kind of took it back. He said, look, these guys, we got to play like it's the Louisville game, like the season opener at Puerto Rico. I mean, remember how excited you were for that game? We have to play like that right now. You know, he could have said, hey, guys, you know, we're still playing for the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, they would have looked at him like, come on now.
Come on.
That's BS.
Get real.
That's BS. You know, I mean, you know, but he said, hey, this is the first game of the year. Just treat like it's the first game of the year. There's a lot of opportunity left. I mean, you remember how excited you were for that Louisville game, and they talked about it after the game, kind of feeling that sense of, hey, you know, this is the first game of the year. You know, we're excited. It's Michigan State. This is a big time opponent, and then they played like that. They played loose. They played free. You know, and I think it's a testament of how he's growing, kind of as a coach and as a leader.
Well, I mean, they hadn't won there in 18 years. Nobody. I mean, I picked them to lose by 12. Everybody picked them to lose, and there was literally no shot given to them. And why would there? Why should there have been? The way they, you know, way things had gone in coming in. So they were free. They played really free, and Michigan State looked tight. And it was first win in 18 years. I was thinking about this. Well, the last time they beat him, 1997, Courtney James throwing down dunks, double-double. He was a Big Ten Player of the Week. I watched that game from home because I didn't make the trip.
Nice.
It's 18
that was
years.
I think I was senior in high school there.
It was a big win. It was a big win. We're certainly going to discuss a little bit more. We've got more KG conversation, and high school sections have started. So we're going to get into that in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Yeah, it's high school basketball talk on One and Done, 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob, Marcus Fuller, the Chief, Ryan James, the Gym Rat. I didn't get to go to the, I didn't get to watch the Michigan State game because I was actually at, my guy had a game that was the section, the first playoff game that Cristo Rey Jesuit had ever had. And my guy, Coach Stan, helped them guys pull it out. It was like a 1-point game. They nearly coughed it up at the end. Now they've got North tonight at 7.
Oh, that's going to be a challenge. That's a definite challenge. Minneapolis North, you know, they're 21-5 because they're a Class A team, but their schedule is thick. So, you know, when you go there, you got to know. Those most of the losses, besides the Rushford Peterson loss, were to bigger school teams. I'll tell you what, no, your guy has a good player in Jericho Sims. Long, athletic. He's thin, but very skilled and very talented. So yeah. he's a force that they got to deal with. But North is tough, man. I mean, they got Tyler Johnson, who's a two-sport stud. He's got 3 Big Ten football offers.
They look so athletic. They have some dudes in the gym watching the game, obviously, scouting the game, and they look so athletic.
They are. Tyler Johnson may have had the dunk of the year at Rushford Peterson. It was completely nasty. Although, Jaylen Brown at Creighton-Durham-Hall had one the other day that I retweeted. Whew. He, like, bounced off a dude and went higher, like, into the rim. It was crazy. But back to North, Jameel Jackson had one of the greatest. I mean, this dude has immense potential, and he scored, I can't remember what it was, like 41 or something like that against Johnson. So you got him.
Jameel is what, like, about 6'6", 6'7"?
Yeah, 6'5", 6'6", okay. Yeah.
God, I feel like dudes are so much bigger than when I was going to school.
And Jameel has a stroke. I mean, when he gets it going, he's got a pretty-looking shot. But, they have depth, though, too. DJ Hunter's on that team, and Isaac Johnson's a really, really good sophomore, and he keeps going and going. They got 7-8 dudes, so... Your boy is in for
it's gonna be a tough night.
He's got a challenge. He's
it's
got
gonna
a
be
challenge.
A tough night. We know that. What else is going on in high school basketball? This is show or go home time, right? I mean, we're getting there.
Well, last night I was in Southern Minnesota. Give a short, quick Southern Minnesota love. I watched Maple River put forth the best defensive effort I think I've seen in the longest time. If you're a coach out there listening and you can't get your dudes to play half court, you're not sure how, get a hold of the first half of Maple River versus Waterville Illusion Morristown. Two good shots is all the Bucks had in the first half. I mean, that's the best defense.
Wow.
I was putting pictures up of dudes like being deep, like Spider-Man in a stance, nice. And Banshee. Like the way they were talking to each other, like blah 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 blah, screaming at each other. Like, I was in the stands just loving it, you know. And then I watched a great game between who's the other one? New Rich and Heartland Ellendale Geneva. They, both of them have college basketball talent. Great game there. Big upsets this week. Minneapolis South. Joe Heiser. Shout out to Joe. Joe works his tail off, and you know South. You know, they lose players to this private school, lose players to the West Metro, but he went out and beat Minnetonka 105-104. Say that again. No overtime. 105-104. Hey.
So you watched one of the best defensive efforts.
Yeah,
and then
I didn't watch it.
And then, no, the other game, and then you come to this one.
Oh,
Minnetonka.
Yeah. I'm like wanting to film. I wanted to film those 18 minutes from last night and say, hey, fellas, you want to learn how to win? You know, scoring 35, two or three guys scored 35 points. It's not getting it done. Playing defense like this is getting it done. But, yeah, I was at watching Chanhassen, had a bunch of seniors playing. And I was like, wow, watching the seniors take care of Lakeville South. And I'm like getting the scores from Joel Krabenhoff down in South Dakota State. And I'm like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? 105, 104.
I think,
man,
you look at a game like that, it kind of compared to the Gophers game. You know, Izzo was just, you know, he was beside himself after that game, the way they played defense. I mean, you go into the game, I know we're talking high school, but, you know, Izzo was just talking about how, you know, the four straight games going into the Minnesota game where they won, they were holding opponents to below 40% field goal shooting, under 25% three-point shooting. Gophers put 52% field goal shooting on them, 43% from three.
That's
96 points in that game. I mean, that's the most points that the Gophers have scored against Michigan State since 1977.
Hey, that was the year, though. That was the year we were talking about.
That's
Gordon James Darnell.
I mean,
but
that's
you talk
insane.
About, yeah, we talk about leadership. I mean, you know, we you know the guys that on some of these teams like North and Champlain Park, we know the top guys, Tyler Johnson, you know, JT Gibson. But are there some guys like, you know, that they look to for leadership that might not necessarily be that leading scorer? Or like Champlain Park, I mean, this is a team that we're all going to, in a couple weeks, we're going to know, everybody's going to know about this team. And everybody knows about JT Gibson, but there's got to be a leader on that team that no one knows of.
JT's the leader.
Right.
I mean, JT's the leader in a lot of ways for that club. Without a doubt. You're talking about North. You said North over there. Larry McKenzie just being a veteran. That's one of those teams where Larry's the leader.
Right.
You know, but Tyler is on the floor, is the tough guy leader too.
Okay.
And Tyler's the type of kid, and Gopher football fans that are listening, and they should know this. Tyler is the epitome of what a good kid is and a good leader and a tough. I mean, he no BS with that kid.
Right.
I mean, he's tough and he wants tough dudes around him. So in a way, that's kind of a leader as well.
Yeah.
So, but you know, Champlain, we're expecting that. They got to get through Maple Grove though, and both those teams. I'm not sure on the schedule, but they got a section semis coming up, and then the next week. There's so many good section games that are going to come up. I mean, just today, I'm still trying to figure out, am I going to St. Michael? Am I going down to Farmington? Am I going to go to EP? I'm not even sure. I'll have to figure that out as I leave. So many good places to go to watch basketball right now. It's the best time of the year. Which, if you're looking at a place to go, find a place that has back-to-back. That's the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't want to waste your time out there. But, you know, when you look at leadership at the high school level, I mean, you two coached, you know, Rob and Ryan. I mean, when you look at your team and you got a bunch of young guys, you know, I mean, then it comes from the top. I mean, they're looking to you, you know, when they're hitting adversity, you know, when they go through a tough stretch. But at the same time, I mean, you know, like the Gophers were going through earlier in the year, I mean, you got to be, you know, banging your head against the wall. If you have veterans on the team, they aren't getting it done. Am I wrong?
Right.
Am I wrong?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right.
Because
you want it from your best player first. I mean, I think that guys naturally follow the best player. Without That's sort of the inclination is, okay, we're going to take our cues from him because he's the one who's out here getting it done. But that's not necessary. I mean, a lot of times it's the dudes with the biggest heart, right? I mean, it's the guys who are out there working on defense and really and telling you where to be and putting you in your place, making sure that everybody's kind of the coach on the floor sort of situation.
I take it back to the last couple of years I coached. And we had some big, strong, tough kids named Carino Gurley and Bremiah Snyder where I coached. Those are the leaders because they're the ones out there like – they're enforcers, too.
Mm-hmm.
They do it right, and then they tell you guys to do it right, too, or they're in your face. And
yeah.
You need those kind of guys. Those guys are not as common as people think.
Right.
They really aren't. I mean, you finding a tough kid and a leader is very, very rare. And that's, you know, that's some teams are lucky to have them. Some of them aren't.
Right. And then Kevin Dorsey is that kind of player. You know, he's coming in for the Gophers next year. You know, I watched him play up in D.C., and, I mean, not only did he lead with his play on the floor, I mean, the on-ball defense, like I was saying before, I mean, it's incredible. Incredible. I mean, if you want to – you talk about the high school games that you saw, I mean, this guy was up in your face. He would not let you put the ball on the floor without getting it swiped out. So he on the floor, leadership was there. But, you know, on the sidelines, I mean, he was grabbing guys, you know, telling them where to go. You know, I mean, this is a guy that when he comes in day one for the Gophers – he's going to demand respect just by the way he plays, the way where he carries himself. And I think that's going to be contagious. But, you know, you talk about recruiting or finding leadership at the high school level. A lot of these guys, they dominate so much with their talent, you know, with their athleticism, with their size, what have you, that they don't necessarily have to be, their personality doesn't have to be like that outgoing, you know, I mean, that tough. And when they get to the next level and it's not that easy for them, all of a sudden, you know, then you see where their true character and their toughness comes from. And a lot of these guys might be able to develop a little bit of that, you know, with the right coach. But some of them, you know, it's just not there.
You know, and I think back to some of those Final Four teams, the Final Four team that Gophers had. That one of the reasons they were good is because their guards were tough as nails. Eric Harris wasn't a vocal leader, but when he spoke, you know, people listened. You know, and he was the defensive tough guy. What happened with the Gophers after he got hurt? You know, they barely survived that section, that quarterfinal, and then they went to they beat UCLA fine. But then they played Kentucky without Eric Harris. When your leader is gone, that's what can happen. You know, Bobby Jackson was a leader too, but in a different way.
Right, for sure.
I like the idea of there really being, well, sort of, it's, for lack of a better word, kind of the KG effect. If you've got a guy who's tough, who demands that respect, he plays with a little bit of an edge, and then can really take control on the defensive end. I feel like that speaks just as loudly, if not maybe even a little bit louder than the dude who can put more, you know, put up more baskets. I mean, am I wrong? I think that the dudes who can really commit and be that enforcer type, that KG type, they're the ones that are going to take charge of your team.
You want a high school guy that fits that description, Josh, Lanasa or Lanasa from Eden Prairie. The dude, we've had him as a player of the week candidate basically because he opened like the floor up with 15 screens. I mean, you don't go down the paint against him because he's a monster and you don't want to get screened by him. I mean, and that's the type of dude who's going to stare at you, destroy you, and then go ahead, my teammate will take care of you. That's the type of dude you need.
I like that. I like the guy who's willing to knock you down. That sometimes when you're on the receiving end of a pick, it sets as much of a it gets in your head as much as anything else, as much as just getting, you know, run off the gym by 30. When you just take that hard pick and you're just like, whoosh.
That's why Marcus takes me to the gym with him, just so I can set screens so he can get jumpers.
There you go. Well, you look at the Gophers right now. I mean, they don't have that enforcer. You know, I mean, they beat one of the toughest teams in the Big Ten without a guy like that.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine if they did recruit? I mean, Patino's right now. He's looking for, you know, a shooter. He's looking for another big guy that maybe protect the, you know, the rim. But really, that he needs that enforcer on this club. And, you know, maybe they need to go to Coach Kill and bring one of those football players over.
I'm down with that. But the more guys that we can get that have an edge, that can play with an attitude, that can play physically, I'm with that. Hey, I got a quick question because Justin just hit me up. Did Sakara Neem commit this week?
Yeah, he committed to Marquette. Yeah, early in the week he committed to Marquette.
Big ups, Justin. When Justin's, of course, taking calls for us. If you want to answer the poll question, how many games, how many wins do the Gophers got left in them? You can hit us up on the ticket line at 651-989-9105. You can also tweet us. It's at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. We've got more conversation on the Gophers, more conversation on the Timberwolves, and your boy is killing it in just a couple of minutes. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, hardwood highlights from around the NBA last night. Several upsets with big names missing in action. Portland topped OKC 115-112. Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge had 29 each for the Blazers. Russell Westbrook had 40, 11, and 13 in the loss. Kevin Durant is day-to-day with a foot injury. Indiana took Cleveland 93-86. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving did not play. The Pacers had four guys in double figures, including 19 off the bench from Rodney Stuckey. Utah topped Denver 104-82 with 21-10 from Derek Favors. The Clippers thumped Memphis 97-79. Chris Paul had 19-13. Jamal Crawford also had 19 off the bench. Minnesota's got Memphis tonight and the Clippers on Monday. Last night, though, the Wolves were in Chicago and lost without KG, 96-89. The Bulls are without Derrick Rose. Pau Gasol and Taj Gibson went down in the first quarter. Jimmy Butler had 28-12 for Chicago. Kevin Martin led Minnesota in scoring with 18. Andrew Wiggins scored 14. Ricky Rubio with 15-10. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. It looks like we've got a response to, well, it's all right. We'll switch things up. We're going to get into my favorite segment then. We'll save some of the poll question responses. Although, actually, why don't we just send it out one more time for the poll question. How many wins do the Gophers have left? There's two games left in conference play in the big tournament remaining. So how many games will the Gophers end up with? You can hit us up on the ticket line at 651-989-9105. You can also tweet your response. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the one and done for these folks on Twitter. All right, so this is part of the game where we get into the ballers of the week, the folks who've been really hooping. My favorite hooper and your boy is killing it is this man. Come on now, it's KG. I went to the game on Wednesday. It was playoff type atmosphere. KG's homecoming with, I mean, you take away all the to do, all the hullabaloo, and you still saw KG setting screens. You saw him the chatter is just, I mean, it's off the charts when you see him actually instructing these dudes and trying to start building their rapport and giving them the opportunity to really learn from him and allowing him to be their mentor. I mean, that's the whole leadership thing. That's what we're talking about. And he brings that. I mean, he's still got that mean defense. And you see these guys actually getting to spots a little bit different, guarding a little bit different. Last night against Chicago, they were being stubborn. They came out of that second half stubborn on D. Chicago was just able to convert more and you know, ultimately close out the game. That's a good basketball team, the Chicago Bulls.
You know, I saw some clips of the first game KG played, and you talk about his defense. I mean, right from the start, I mean, he made a presence felt with that huge block. I mean, that looked like that was a throwback KG right there.
Might have been a goaltend. Nosebleeds, it looked like it might have been.
Remember
when
we had that big man segment? We were talking about Will Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And I showed you that YouTube video of him getting up at like 40 years old.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like right there.
Are we comparing Wilton and KG?
Hey,
man, he's 38 years old and he's still getting it done on the defensive end. I mean, he's not going to score 20 points and 10 rebounds a game, but this is a guy that brings energy. I mean, you saw the way he was talking to his guys on the sideline, you know, Peck and Andrew Wiggins. I mean, they were kind of, you know, on his every word, and that's the kind of presence that he's going to have for this team right now. And, you know, whether he comes back next year, how much of a role he's going to have. I mean, I don't think it really matters because definitely they're going to get someone in the draft that's going to need his leadership and for him to be a mentor. You're hoping that's going to be a big guy. You know, you're looking at Karl Towns and Jahlil Okafor. I mean, can you imagine? You know, I mean, they're not thinking about the NBA right now. But, you know, can you imagine after their season is done, if they look at
the
draft.
Play with KG.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I mean, you know, Adrian Payne is just geeked right now. I mean, he's stepped up and he's already been the guy. I mean, we gotta mention Anthony Mason. Ryan's on the Twitter right now. RIP A. Mason. Talk about somebody who was a big man who got it done. And not only that, but one of the greatest hairstylists or style wearers before the J.R. Smiths and all of that. Anthony Mason. Those Knicks teams were some of my favorite teams, man.
You know, and he looked like a defensive tackle playing basketball. His jump shot, like his arms were so big,
It was a very mechanical looking shot, but he had a handle too.
You're getting his elbows in. No, you're not getting your elbows in.
I love those Knicks teams though. I mean, he was an enforcer, you know, with Patrick Ewing teams
and Oakley. I mean, Mason and Oakley on your front line. That's just nasty. All right, so back to killing it though. Who do you guys got for killing it this week? Who's your boy?
Oh, let's go. It starts Sakar. You know, he was working his tail off to get the high major offer. He got Northwestern Marquette. Took Marquette this week. He had his day early. You know, he had his day. Committed to Marquette. So definite big thing for him. Bjorn Broman scored 74 points in a game recently his team won 109-100. He's leading the nation in scoring at 49.95 points per game.
And where is he going next year?
He's going to Winthrop. Now he had a playoff game he won the other day. He only scored 37 points with 17 assists. So another shout out to Bjorn as he puts up crazy numbers. I watched Justin Dahl, who's going to Northern Iowa. His team scored 60 points. He had 35, 15 rebounds, 5 blocks. Controlled the game again. That's a big man. That's a true center. So we got to give it to him. Jordan Rewer, Morehead State, Minnesota D2. He was named the player of the year. Couldn't ask for a better kid in your program. And Jordan is 6 feet tall, and Jordan does not look like an athlete. He didn't. I don't even think he got much of a scholarship coming into Morehead State. Best player in the conference now, and just because he works so hard and everybody loves the dude. So shout out to him as well. And Tyler Vogel, Springfield. Springfield moving on. He just committed to Gustavus. So there you go. There's only 5. I limited it to 5.
Yeah, Gustavus, life on the hill. I went to Gustavus for about a year. That's a tough town to live in
there
in
St.
Peter. Well, I wouldn't say they kicked me out, but we didn't find a common ground so much. Yeah.
See, if Rob's got one, you know, Ryan usually has about 6 or 7.
So you're
limited to 5. So I'm going to have 2 this week, okay? I'm going to have 2.
Cool.
So since we our last show, I mean, Amanda Azali had another big game, the 27-27 that we talked about. And, this is to me, if you look at women's basketball, just like the men's game, this is a guard's game. It's up tempo.
No doubt.
To have a big man definitely
a
post player from the female side.
A big gal.
I like that. That's the big gal
that can dominate a game like this is incredible. I mean, she was brought down to earth a little bit. They lost at Nebraska.
Right.
After that Michigan game, she was held to 12 points and 6 rebounds.
She is human.
And a loss. But this is a woman that's going to take this team to the next level. I was talking to one of the ESPN analysts about their chances at the NCAA tournament. I mean, he has them a lock right now. And it's all about seeding at this point. And I think they have a chance, if Amanda can continue to play, half of what she was doing in some of those games, she's got a shot to win some games in the Big Ten tournament and possibly get to the NCAA tournament, win some games there.
And you've got multiple killing.
Carlos Morris, he's a guy that, you've got good Carlos, bad Carlos, and coming off the bench for the Gophers, he didn't start for the last 5 games. He could have gone 2 ways with that. I mean, this is a guy that next year, he'll be a big part of the team. But this year, he started off as one of their leading scorers, and to lose your starting spot, it was definitely a hit for him. But he hit the 3-pointer that sent this game into overtime. He missed a free throw that could have won the game for them. But 20 points, he was unconscious offensively, and I think leadership doesn't necessarily come from him on the defensive end or vocally, but his offense, is just contagious. When he's confident offensively, this is a dangerous team, and Carlos is going to be a factor in the next game versus Wisconsin, whether he starts or not.
All right, so it's your boy is killing it is the segment, but we've got a caller, believe it or not. We're going to take our first caller. It's Charles from Rochester, who wants to talk about Jarvis Johnson and where he fits in with the Gophers.
Let's see here.
Charles, you're on One and Done.
Hi, I just had a question. I'm down here in Rochester. I've never gotten to see Jarvis Johnson play in person. Read a little bit about him, but kind of where does he fit in with the Gophers, and would they kind of play him at point sometime and move Mason over to the 2 guard? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, well, we'll let Ryan field that question. Thanks for your call, Charles. Appreciate it.
Jarvis, type of kid who's, his whole life has been playing both guard spots. So when he's on the floor with Nate Mason, shoot, with the both of them, it could be either one. I mean, whoever's more comfortable running the point at that time when Jarvis is a freshman, Nate's a sophomore, but they both can do it. Jarvis is – what's unique about Jarvis is he's so explosive and so athletic. He can physically do things that other people can't. So despite being, I don't know, 6'1", I would say, despite being 6'1", he can play some two-guard because he's so athletic. And in this system, up and down, he's going to be able to make plays – running with the ball or, you know, along to the side of the ball in transition, making plays. Jarvis can play for the, to answer that call from good old Rochester. I would say Jarvis could play both. And when he was with Nate, they could both play it. I mean, that's what makes Jarvis so good for this program is because he's versatile and he could play both guard spots.
And what I like about Jarvis too, and about this, the three recruits coming in, the three guard recruits, is the relationship that they built before getting here. I mean, I was talking to Jarvis last week just about, you know, kind of his rapport with Dupree McPrayer from Sunrise Christian in Kansas. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, I was going to read a tweet that he had to me last week that, you know, we talk about coming ready for next year and just having fun. And they talk almost every other day. And, you know, that's exciting. You know, when you have recruits that like is. that play similar position, you know, that kind of have that rapport. And Kevin Dorsey, you know, he started talking with him, you know, a couple months ago. And Dorsey plays the same position as him. You know, they could have seen each other, one another as a threat. You know, Dorsey's a four-star kid coming in. You know, at one time, you know, Jarvis was a four-star kid. They both played the point. But they built a relationship, you know, in the offseason here. And you know, it's going to carry forward to next year. You know, one thing that Patino brought up this week is that the team is going to Spain in the fall, in August, and I'll be going with them.
What?
Hey!
No, that hasn't been set yet, but
come on, man.
I gotta start putting that in my editor's ear.
Petitioning?
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I think the fact that they're going to Spain and going to get some of these young guys a lot of playing time, exhibition time. There's extra practice time with this foreign tour every 4 years that Division I basketball teams can make. I mean, that's going to be huge for the chemistry to be built with these freshmen.
I'm looking forward to more answers and more calls. If you're listening right now, you're certainly welcome to give us a call with your response to the poll question. 651-989-9105 is the ticket line. You can also tweet us. It's at @oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. How many games, how many wins do the Gophers have left, including conference play and the Big Ten tournament? I got a tweet here from @TundraGopher. Says, sadly, only two. Death by 3 points.
Come on, Tundra.
That's
Tundra.
I mean, you live by the three, you die by the three. He's got a point there. I mean, there's no question that they found ways. I'm so confused by this Gopher team. I wish I could point to any one thing, but it just seems like if it's not little mistakes or if it's mental mistakes, it's free throws. If it's not free throws, it's something else. I mean,
well, they have it in them to play at the highest
level.
They do.
They proved that this week.
And it's not necessarily on the defensive end. You know, the three games that they won in a row, I mean, that defense was playing out of this world. You know, I think they averaged about 20-plus turnovers a game that their opponents had. But, you know, offensively, I mean, they got it done. Five players in double figures. I mean, Andre Hollins doesn't have to carry this team for them to beat a quality team.
All right, well, we're going to continue this conversation about the Gophers in just a couple of minutes with our review preview. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
All right, we've got some games to get into this week. High school basketball on 105 The Ticket. Tuesday at 7, we'll have Minnetonka and Wayzata in the Section 5 4A semifinals. We'll also be broadcasting games from the state tournament in just a couple of weeks. On Wednesday, 105 The Ticket's Radioactive Sports, Ben Holson and the superstar Mike Morris are live at Hubert's for Wolves Wednesday. That's from 4 to 7 before Minnesota hosts the Denver Nuggets. The Wolves are at home against Memphis tonight and Monday against the Clippers. I think the Wolves actually right now, too, are doing a promotion. If you show up at the box office with a KG jersey, you can get a ticket for $21. So if you're not listening to the show, or if you are listening to the show, maybe just bring your radio on out to the front of Target Center. Go to the box office with us. Bang it. We would appreciate it. Number 18, Arkansas is at number 1, Kentucky this afternoon on CBS. Michigan's at number 14, Maryland at noon on ESPN. ESPN's also got Syracuse at Duke tonight at 6. The Gopher women tomorrow at 2 in Iowa. This is their last regular season game, and Marcus is going to the game. Yeah? You're going to the game?
Well, I mean,
You're going to be there in spirit?
I'll be there next week.
You're going to be there next week. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to watch it. The Gophers men's basketball team is coming off a big win in East Lansing earlier this week. They face Wisconsin on Thursday. So it sounds like we have probably quite a bit of Gopher basketball to discuss here in our last segment. I don't even know where to begin. I mean, we've hit this Michigan game, but I don't want to beat it to death, but I feel like it deserves more conversation. That was a big win.
Well, you look at the way this team had been playing up to that point. I mean, they had three straight losses. You know, the two games that they lost, giving up 33 three-pointers combined. I mean, those are just, you know, you shake your head and think it's not possible. How does a team hit 18 three-pointers? You know, that was the most three-pointers that a team had made in a Big Ten game.
That's bananas.
You know, ever.
Like B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas.
And so, you know, you didn't think that could happen again. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Northwestern comes in and hits 15. So, you know, look at the Wisconsin game. You didn't think that they had a chance to compete in that game. I thought they, you know, they stuck with Wisconsin, you know, gave them a good run. You know, Wisconsin loses the next game to Maryland. So you're thinking, man, they just soft them up for Maryland a little
bit. I'm so confused by the Big Ten because these ranked teams are losing. As soon as they get a nice rank, they'll lose. I mean, it's so.
But Maryland's, you know, they came into the Big Ten with a lot of steam. I think this team is a lot more talented than people give them credit for. Melo Trimble, their freshman point guard,
Hooper,
is playing unreal. Unreal basketball.
He's a baller.
I mean, he has a chance to go one and done. But, you know, Wisconsin's a team that, you know, you never know. Michigan State could be so fired up after this loss to Minnesota that they could give them a pretty good run on Sunday. Wisconsin plays Michigan State. You know, if not a win by Michigan State, maybe they soften Wisconsin up for the Gophers next week. So I think the Gophers will have a lot of confidence. They'll be carrying it over from Michigan State. They'll have a chance to kind of, you know, follow up last year's win at the Barn.
The Minnesota-Wisconsin game at Williams Arena is usually a battle. And Minnesota's actually done pretty well in that game. You know, in our student section, you know, after watching Maryland's student section, you guys have all seen that, right?
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, then the Gophers, our Gopher fans, they'll come up super creative and say, you know, explicit Bo Ryan. And that's what they bring. That's super creative that they got. But, I mean, like, the Gophers, the fans get under the Wisconsin skin in that game, and the Gophers have fared pretty well. I think it's going to be a very competitive game, and I believe that the Gophers have a legit shot to pull off that upset, especially considering, you know, Wisconsin's going to have Michigan State. They haven't been playing very good defense. The Gophers should come in there with some good confidence. That's going to be an awesome, awesome night of battle. I mean, that's probably going to be the most exciting Williams Arena game this year outside of the blackout, which was a one-night marketing awesome.
We've got an answer. The question, our poll question today is, how many wins do the Gopher men's basketball team have left in them? You're certainly welcome to tweet us at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. We've got a caller right now. You can call it 651-989-9105. Keith in St. Paul has an answer to our poll question. Let me get Keith on the line. Keith, you with us, bro?
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Well, not too bad. That win against Michigan State was big, but having a week off, I don't think they get to carry that momentum into Wisconsin. They're going to drop that game, and then they're going to beat Penn State, and then it's going to be a disappointing end to a disappointing season, one and done in the Big Ten tournament. So I'm saying two.
Two wins left. Two wins. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, that's realistic. I mean, you know, he's looking at it, you know, as that one game versus Michigan State, you know, don't look at that in a bubble. But, you know, Wisconsin, you know, I think it just matters what happens to Wisconsin tomorrow versus Michigan State. I mean, I think this is a team that, you know, if somehow Michigan State can pull that out, you know, they come into the Barn with two losses. So it's not necessarily how the Gophers' momentum is going. It's how Wisconsin's playing at the time. And I think that's what was the case last year when Minnesota knocked them off at the Barn. You know, at the time, Wisconsin was kind of going through a funk. They got it together a little bit after losing to Minnesota and made that run to the Final Four. So I think it's a matter of where Wisconsin is at the time. You know, they might get Trayvon Jackson back.
There.
I mean, he's a huge leader for that team. And, you know, he's playing well, extremely well when he got hurt. He won't be playing Sunday likely versus Michigan State, but they could have him back versus Minnesota, and that would give him a lift.
Well, they haven't been playing that well defensively. The Wisconsin hasn't, and they're not that deep without Jackson. I mean, they're not super deep the way it is, and you take out Jackson, and that could be a struggle. I still think the Gophers have a great chance to win that game, and I think the Gophers are going to win two of their next three and at least get one win postseason NIT and get you three at least.
I got a question for you guys. So with this conversation around KG and leadership, actually I was listening to Coach K on Jim Rome earlier this week, and he's talking about really how the face of college basketball has changed because there aren't elite players that are staying for the full 4 years. So let me ask you this. If this Gophers team, who's lost ton of games by just a handful of buckets. If they have senior leadership, solidified senior leadership, are we looking at a tournament team? Are we looking at a team able to get it done?
No question. I mean, that was one of the reasons why a lot of people, including Tom Izzo, coming into the season, had the Gophers as one of his sleepers. You know, he looked at the four seniors, and you have three starters, Mo Walker, DeAndre Mathew, and Andre Hollins. And this is a team that had played in the NCAA tournament before, not that long ago, won an NCAA tournament game for the first time since the Final Four year in 97. And they were kind of, you know, they were kind of proven last year by winning the NIT that they deserved to be in last year. I mean, you look at two wins, two losses that they had at home versus Illinois and Northwestern, both non-NCAA tournament teams. If they win those two games, they would have been in the tournament. You know, if they had one quality win away from making the tournament, they came down to the Wisconsin game in the Big Ten tournament last year, and they got steamrolled in that game. But that was the game that was going to get them in or not. And I don't think there's going to be necessarily a game this year where you look back and say, oh, we won that game, we would have been an NCAA tournament team. It was just a collective of games. And you talk about the losses that they had by, you know, a few baskets, and Purdue comes to mind on the road. Ohio State at home, you lose on a last-second shot. Iowa at home, you lose on a last-second shot. Northwestern here at home.
Low point in the season.
Yeah, you know, and how quickly they turn that around and get a big win at Michigan State.
You know, for me, like the topic you talked about with leadership with the seniors, where should they be? There's too many elder guys in this team who just haven't consistently done things this team needs to win. They haven't rebounded, been as consistent defensively. You know, there's too many upperclassmen that haven't rebounded enough. They haven't consistently defended. And offensively, they haven't been as smart as they need to. They haven't taken care of the basketball. They haven't taken good shots. Those are all things that you expect your leaders to do, and I think there's too many guys that haven't. And then you add in Andre Hollins, who's had a great year, had the bad part of his year at the absolute worst time, and that's that five-game losing streak. Man, they went two of them. This is a different year. But he had a terrible stretch. And you know, we're looking at a result of probably the NIT.
Without the consistency, too, of, without the consistency, how about maybe framing it as saying, with a brand new coach, I mean, that's got to shake things up as well. I mean, if you can't get leadership, veteran leadership, or, you know, senior leadership on the floor, guys who've, you know, been a part of the system, been a part of the program, and who know how to get it done and how to take over a game, you probably rely a little bit more on your coach. Now, with a first-year head coach, I mean, does that compound the problem, or does it make it just more challenging?
I think it was about expectations. You know, this year, you know, Patino expected his seniors to lead. He just figured having four of them, you know,
and two juniors
collectively, that this would be a more veteran group. And so I think that kind of, you know, it shocked him a little bit. You know, he didn't really know how to respond to that. I mean, how do you, you know, there's one point in the season where Mo Walker was playing extremely well and then kind of dipped a little bit. You know, didn't really come to play in some big games. And he was saying, you know what, you're a senior. I shouldn't have to grab you and shake you and say, hey, we need to get this. You need to get going in this game. You know, you should already know that. And I think a lot of the younger players said the same thing. You know, I asked him, did you talk to Mo? I mean, did you try to get him fired up? And he knows what to do. You know, Andre knows what to do. DeAndre knows what to do. And I think for Patino, he was trying to learn how to motivate his seniors.
Sure.
You know, if they're not motivated because this is their last year, you know, how are they going to get motivated? And he finally figured that out. I mean, Michigan State was one win. You know, Wisconsin, if you get that second win in a row, I mean, this, to me, it's not necessarily about playing for the NCAA tournament, playing for the NIT. Right now, you know, you're playing for pride, and they have two home games left. And that Wisconsin game, you know, much like the game a couple of years ago versus beating number one Indiana, it's a rush your court game. You know, I know a lot of people probably don't agree that if they beat Wisconsin, you should rush the court. But at the rate it's happening in college basketball right now, I think it's definitely deserving.
And why not? Rushing the court's fun. I don't understand the hatred towards, oh, you can't do that. You just beat this team. You know, quit putting rules on it. Like, rush the court. You have fun. People aren't doing it every game. Each school is probably doing it, you know, once every once in a while. Rush the court. But the thing about Patino, though, I don't think you can really judge Patino on, like, his guys until you watch. You can't. The first group that went in, those guys are JUCO transfers. They're two-month recruits. The guys you have to watch are Bakari, Gaston, Nate Mason, and this next group coming in. The guys that are four-year guys that he gets to work with for a long period of time, those are the guys you judge Patino on, in my opinion.
So then just to sort of wrap things up, I think we've got some – we've had some final comments on the poll question. Three Three wins, two wins. You guys are going. You're going
20.
With,
they're getting 20 wins this year.
You're going with 20 wins, and you are sitting at where?
I think that they'll split these last two games. You know, they'll. I don't think they'll beat Wisconsin. I think they'll beat Penn State. But I do think they have a chance to win a Big Ten tournament game.
As do I.
And you know, they're going to have a bye, so they'll end up playing a really good team. Right now, they play Indiana in that first game. You know, you play Maryland maybe that second game. Maybe they get Wisconsin again. And I think they'll have a shot to win at least one game. And you know, that'll be huge for them to get another huge win in the Big Ten tournament in Chicago in an atmosphere like that. I think for these young players, we'll go far this year.
I'm certainly looking forward to watching more basketball this week. For Marcus Fuller and Mr. Ryan James, I am Hardwood Rob. This is One and Done. We're going to be back at 11 next week. We got to move ahead because there's a lot of, from what I understand, there's some hockey going on in Minnesota next week. So we'll be back at 11. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Pure Sports Talk, 105 The Ticket.